Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the midlife podcast that aims to be inclusive of all mid-age warriors with a mixture of mirth and merriment, a good dose of advice if you need it, and served with a side of no fucks left to give and a large gin and tonic. I'm Sarah Kaywood, and the steak and ale to my puff pastry is Lou Mitchell. After all, Lou, you are the brains of the operation, babe.
That's a worrying thought.
I didn't know whether you were going to take steak and ale. As an insult, not a compliment. It's definitely a compliment.
Oh, I take everything as a compliment. Life's too short.
Oh, how are you? You all right?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. What's going down in your world?
Yeah, no, all good, Lola. I don't like to talk about time stuff because obviously everybody listens to podcasts at different times, but we're heading for Easter and Lola will be home on Saturday, so I am excited.
You'll all be back together.
Yeah, Lola's at uni, so...
Now, our guest today is a woman who turned the devastating loss of all her hair to alopecia into something so fabulous and life-affirming that I now have the mantra, what would Lizzie do whenever life throws me a curveball? She is the brilliant body confidence expert and life coach, Lizzie Jackson-Barrett. Hey, babe.
What am I to your pie? I was ready to be the gravy or something.
Yeah, the gravy is... Or maybe, now it depends, like, you're
horseradish.
Essex.
What about... I don't want to be horseradish.
Lizzie, what about liquor?
Spicy.
Well...
Liquor.
You know, like Lizzie's in Loughton. It's close enough to the East End.
Right. We could have a bit of liquor.
You're going to add spice in. That's where I was at.
Perfect.
You
You could do what I actually do with my pie and just cover it in tomato ketchup.
There we go.
Oh, you heathen.
I know. Honestly. Judge me. I don't care.
Don't judge here. Trust me.
No judgment. Now, babe, I have... Okay, so I've interviewed Lizzie before for Irregular Bitches. So just to put something in context, Lou couldn't... It was for the Gone Fishing stage at McFly in the Park, wasn't it, Lizzie?
It was on the open air stage. It was a surreal experience, wasn't it, really?
It was amazing. I instantly fell in love with you. Lou couldn't make it because her daughter Lola got the Rona, so she was isolating. And we recorded it all and I was going to upload it, except I didn't know how. And it just sat there, this MP3 on my computer, like laughing at me. And in the end, I was just like, can I just get her back on when I've got Lou with me anyway? And I was like, do you mind, Lizzie? She was like, no, not at all. But you were amazing. Do you remember loads of people were coming up to us afterwards and saying that was revelationary? Revelatory?
Yeah, cool. Whatever that word is. They came up and said that was good. It was. And it was so lovely. I remember very specifically there was a girl came over with her mum. The girl looked like she was, I don't know, maybe like 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And she said, my mum needed to hear that. She's always calling herself ugly. She's always putting herself down. And her mum standing there listening to this girl telling me that it really hurts her every time her mum says something unkind about herself. And you could see the mum's face kind of changing as she listened, and I'm
realizing
that she went away maybe a little bit different as a result of that, maybe not putting herself down in front of her daughter or at all, I hope. So it was worth it all just for that conversation. It was fab.
It's hard not to do that in front of our daughters. We've all three of us got daughters. It's really hard not to do that, and I'm a work in progress. I find myself slipping, but by and large, you see, I tell her to love the skin you're in and, you know, all of that stuff, and then you need to apply those same things to yourself, don't you?
Totally right. Actually, just the other day, I was at a school doing a workshop for parents that was called How to Help Your Kids Be Body Confident. And I did trick them a little bit because all these mums turned up with notebooks ready to be told this is what to say to your children. Mm-hmm. And I kind of ambushed them because I said, really, the thing you need to do is start being nice about yourselves in front mm-hmm. of your children. And that is the one biggest thing any of us can do to help our kids feel good in their own skin is to model that for them, like, and to mean sure. it. That's the hard bit, because like we can all kind of say, oh no, aren't I gorgeous, I love my rolls of fat, but and once we can actually start to mean it and really kind of embrace everything about ourselves, that's when I noticed my kids changing the way they spoke about themselves and being kinder about themselves when they saw me just kind of loving myself the way I am.
Yeah,
I think children as well nowadays have got a different attitude. I mean, I spent so much of my life bemoaning my big butt. And I did it the other day. I was like, oh, my butt looks enormous. And I just heard this voice shouting from my bedroom going, no such thing.
Who was that?
Lola.
Who was Lola?
No
really?
Such thing. Yeah.
Oh, love it.
Irregular.
Bitches.
Now, Lizzie, take us right back to the beginning of your epic journey. How old are you? Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I am 44.
So you're 4 years in, because it was 40 when your hair started to fall out,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. Completely unexpectedly, I was getting ready for my 40th birthday party, which makes for quite a good story now.
It really does.
And I found my first bald patch, which was about the size of an egg, kind of on the side of my head, and I was like, oh my god, what the fuck is that? As my fingers kind of touched this bit of scalp, that's not what you expect. I remember very clearly the first sensation was, it wasn't the feeling of scalp on my fingers, it was the feeling of cold fingers on my scalp, which is such an alien feeling. I was like, what the hell is that? So that was, yeah, it was really, really scary, and it happened super fast after that. I lost all my hair in about 2 months, despite, you know, going to all the dermatologists and all the people who were throwing steroids at me in every direction, and clearly it didn't work. Lost all the hair on my head in about 2 months, and then all the hair from everywhere else in about another 2 months. So, and actually I cried more over my eyelashes than anything else, because that was, I had this real sense that when my hair fell out, and I really wanted to still look like a girl. This is what I was worried about. The first thing I did after we kind of shaved off the last bits of hair was go and put a full face of makeup on. And so I started getting Russian lashes done. So I had these big fluttery lashes. And then when my natural lashes fell out, so you couldn't get Russian lashes anymore because they stick onto your natural lashes. And I hadn't yet mastered the art of gluing them on. So I was like, well, that's it now. That's the last bit of me that actually made me look girly. So that was, yeah, the hardest bit of all, I think, weirdly enough. Although they've grown back now, I've got lashes again, so I'm a girl again, yay.
Yay. You are all woman to me, I tell you. And so I know that you got very depressed about it initially, didn't you, before you sort of had a huge perception shift. Can you take us through that bit of the journey?
Yeah, and I really went to quite a dark place for, luckily not too long, but a while, and I cried every day and just had all these awful thoughts about what this meant about me and what it meant about what everyone would think about me and how my husband would see me and how my kids would see me. And I'd always struggled with my body image and kind of all my life since I was, you know, 11 years old. I'd been dieting and tooth whitening and, you know, control underwear buying and all that stuff that we do, but I really had a hard time with it. So then initially what I found so hard about losing my hair is, for me, it was confirmation of everything I'd ever believed, that I was now never going to be beautiful, because no matter what I did now, no matter how much I know money I threw at diet plans or, you know, whatever else, I was never going to look like the woman that I thought I was meant to want to look like, because that woman has hair. So, yeah, it was very layered, my depression. There was a lot to it. Lots of, thoughts about really what it meant about me and the person that I had spent all my life trying to be, and I now had to give up on that.
So what changed, Lizzie? What was your light bulb moment?
It really was a light bulb moment. And I don't kind of use that lightly, because, you know, I think often when we have these changes, it is sort of a gradual thing. But it really was this epiphany one night when I was lying in bed and my husband was asleep next to me, and I was staring at the ceiling in the dark with tears rolling down my cheeks and making my pillow wet around my ears. And you know, it's just like what I did every night, just lying there crying. Aww. And I was crying initially because I'd realized that I was crying for the waste of all my time and energy and money and everything I'd spent all these years putting into trying to look like something, and crying that I was never going to achieve it. And then a voice kind of popped into my head and said, but that means you can stop now. And that was the moment that changed everything. It's like, what? I can what? Sorry, what? And it's, you know, for me, obviously, my story is quite a dramatic and extreme one. But actually, it is the message that almost every woman I've ever met has absorbed to some degree, which is that as women, the most important thing any of us can do is make ourselves pretty. And that job is never done. There's always a next thing. There's always like, you know, well, I've lost the weight and I'm the size I wanted to be, but now I need to worry about my bingo wings, and now I need to think about my grey hair, or blah, 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 blah. Because that's the society we live in, and it's how we're made to feel, because then we keep buying the products that, you know, all the rest of it. And to give myself permission to just step out of that, just go, actually, no, I'm not doing that anymore. That's not me. That's not the life I'm living. I'm just going to stop. It was a game changer.
Irregular
bitches.
I'm completely in awe of you, Lizzie, because you're the only person I know, I think. Like, Lou's definitely in the right. She's up. She's out there somewhere. She's definitely got. There's hardly any fucks left to give, but you, they went years ago, and you own it. And actually, and you are beautiful. But there's an extra layer of gorgeousness because you are you. And there's no one more you than you, or whatever it is that Dr. Seuss said. And I need a bit of that. What do you tell your clients that come to you with poor self-esteem? And let's be honest, every single woman listening to this podcast will have poor self-esteem. There's probably not one who
on some level.
Yeah.
On some level.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to pretend that I never, ever have these wobbles and these worries. And, you know, I drew my eyebrows on before I came to speak to both of you today. So there's always, you know, it's still there to a degree. Yeah. But... okay, so here's the killer question that I ask every client that I ever work with. What would you do if you were more confident? Right? That's just the question. It's a really easy one to ask. And actually, you don't have to start worrying about the how. Yeah, but I'm not. And I can, like, yeah, but just if you were more confident, what would you do? And then it's really interesting what kind of answers come out, because it depends, you know, what aspect of confidence coaching they're there for. But if we're particularly talking about body confidence, they might say, well, if I was more confident, I would wear skirts again. I haven't worn a skirt for 20 years because I don't want anyone to see my legs. If I was more confident, I'd wear a skirt. If I was more confident, I'd stop dyeing my hair. I'd stand up and give a presentation at work. You know, all this stuff comes out. And then the work I do with them as a coach is like, we choose one and we do it. And that's like the scary bit, which is where, like, you need me there holding your hand. But we choose it with intention. So it's not just, well, let's do the scary thing. It's like, you know, which one of those would really make a difference to you if you were able to do this without fear? And so if she said, well, actually, the thing I really, really would love to be able to feel confident doing is going out in a skirt. But then it's not, you know, I hate that kind of coaching approach, which is like, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. And that's not me. I'm not a boot campy type of coach. For me, the next thing, the biggest part of that whole kind of process really is about putting everything you need in place to help you feel courageous enough to do it. So it might be about, I don't know, asking your friends to meet you somewhere for coffee and tell them, I'm going to wear a skirt and I'm going to be feeling a bit self-conscious, so I'm going to need you there to cheer me on.
That's so cute.
That's a lovely idea.
Yeah, that's lovely.
It might be, when are you going to plan the shopping trip with your best friend who's going to help you find a skirt that you feel good in, someone whose opinion you really trust. So if you don't look good, you know she'll tell you. Or, whatever it is that you need to put in place before you do that scary thing. And then the real secret to it is that you do it more than once. Because if you do it once and then you put the skirt away, it remains a scary thing you once did. But if you keep doing it, then each time you do it, you need a bit less courage until eventually it just isn't a scary thing. It doesn't need any courage. It just becomes part of what you do is you wear skirts. And that whole process is something that I kind of developed after reflecting on how did I go from having such low body confidence, it was, in the toilet, to, hey, everyone, look at me and my bald head and I don't even remember I've got no hair. And it was really, that was the process I went through about sort of going out in public and letting people see my bald head. And I kind of reflected on, well, what steps did I put in place to give me the courage to do it so it felt doable? And that's where my whole coaching kind of process and ethos comes from, really, from reflecting on how did I get confidence and how can other people apply that to really any area of their life they want more confidence in. And it works.
Does the fact that you're bald cause you to get attention? And do you just ignore it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't draw as much attention as I initially thought it might do.
Right, that was my gut.
You imagine that everyone's going to be looking and staring and whispering, and and they don't, as far as I've noticed. And I think there's two reasons for that. I think partly it is because I'm not self-conscious, and so I don't really draw attention to myself particularly, because I think if you see someone who just looks really uncomfortable or awkward, I know sometimes you'll see a woman who's wearing heels so high she can't really walk in them properly, and you notice her because she's kind of teetering along the road.
She's not owning it.
Exactly. And the woman who's wearing these amazing stilettos, like marching along doing her thing, you don't notice her. So I think there's that aspect of it. But more than that is actually the realization that actually everyone's so busy worrying about what everyone else thinks of them. They're not interested in what you look like. They're not noticing you. They're worried about what you notice about them.
Irregular
bitches.
We can't possibly not have a little moment, whether it will remain in or whether Addy's so bored of this story already that he's like, oh, really? But can we please just talk about Will Smith? Because what you said, Lizzie, on Facebook was so spot on. I was like, well, of course. So tell us your take on the Will Smith, Chris Rock, Jada Pinkett debacle.
Well, we are talking to each other at the moment, a few days on from the Oscars. And because I kind of have been in the media quite a lot talking about my hair loss and things, I've been a very busy girl this week talking to a lot of journalists about this story. And everyone wants to know, what do you think? Who was in the right? Was Chris Rock in the wrong for making the joke, or was Will Smith in the wrong for hitting him? And the answer is both. They're both idiots. But what I am really having an issue with is that they are the people we're talking about. No one is talking about Jada and how she felt and what this story means to her. So, Will Smith comes across to me as a man who has a big ego and who kind of builds that ego on this kind of this role he's crafted for himself as protector of the weak, aka women. And so for me, that's the real issue, is that when he was talking about Jada, when he was shouting at Chris to keep his wife's name out of his mouth and all of that.
Didn't even use her name.
He didn't use her name.
Oh my God, I didn't even know. My wife. He didn't.
Not only did he not use her name then, but I've counted in his then Oscars acceptance speech, where he did show kind of contrition and he was upset and he apologised, he spoke 425 words. How many of those words do you think were Jada? None. He didn't say her name once. His Oscars acceptance speech, where he was talking about what had just happened, was about him. It was about his role and the way he's being feeling called to step up to protect everyone. And it was never once about, actually, you really hurt Jada's feelings and please don't talk about Jada like that, because I'm the one who's had to support Jada through losing her hair. I'm the one who mm-hmm. sees what it means for her, how much courage she has to find to go out, to share her journey on social media. I'm the one who's been by Jada's side, and that's why I reacted so emotionally and got so angry. That's what he should have said.
None of that.
Mic drop
from Lizzie Jackson Barrett.
Yeah.
You're so true.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Irregular
bitches.
Right, so now I'm going to plunder you. We're both going to plunder you. Oh. We touched on this a little bit earlier.
Sounds vaguely rude.
It does,
doesn't it? Over Zoom.
Away, baby. I'm ready.
I'd plunder both of you.
Plunder the shit out of you.
Plunder the shit out of you. Gorgeous women. Right. I'm worried about my little girl.
Okay.
She's 8 years old. She watches YouTube videos, makeup videos, whatever. To me, they look quite benign, I have to say. She's not, you know, but what can I say to her, Lizzie, in this Instagrammable world where she's already sometimes tells me she thinks she's fat and ugly and she's neither. But what can we all tell our children? I really feel like you are the guru expert on this one, and I'm a bit of a loss. And also, I'm scared. I'm scared for her, because I just think if I don't say the right things to her now, I might just accidentally lead her into mental health problems because I haven't said and done the right things.
Well, no pressure then, right? Well, I mean, firstly, I think we all need to acknowledge that when our kids reach our age, they will tell everyone that we fuck them up no matter what we
100%.
Do. 100%. So yeah. There is no yes. doing it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, I don't think I have a definitive answer is the truth to that. But I think there are things we can do, because, you know, the honest truth is that this isn't a world we had to navigate when we were their age. So all we can do is kind of do our best, kind of put our best shot at this, and imagine really what might have helped us when we were their age trying to navigate this world that they are faced with. So I think there's a few ways into the conversations that we should be having with our children. I think that we ideally look for opportunities around us to discuss kind of appearance, to discuss ideas of beauty, and, you know, things like things that we see on telly. There's always opportunities on there, on the soaps or whatever else. But actually, even just, I don't know, if you see an actress being interviewed on TV, just saying to her, do you think she knows how beautiful she is? Like, that's a really good question to ask our kids, because the idea that this, you know, beautiful woman, somebody is in Hollywood, who's kind of up there as this pinnacle of what we should be aiming for, to have a conversation to help our kids see that actually, no matter what we look like, we still feel like it's not enough. So that's the kind of question that can be quite helpful, I think. There was, when I visited the school a couple of days ago to do a parent workshop, before that I was also asked to do some sessions for their year 5 and year 6 kids on body confidence. And here's the thing that really, really struck a chord with these kids that made such a difference. So I showed them just a few points of what was seen as the perfect female form at different times in history and different places around the world. So in ancient Egypt, for example, apparently the perfect woman had narrow shoulders, a high waist, Not quite sure how you make your waist high, and a symmetrical face. In the Italian Renaissance, the most beautiful women, or the women perceived to be most beautiful, had big round stomachs and very pale skin, and were curvy. And, you know, in the 1990s, it was all about kind of being extremely painfully thin, that kind of, you know, heroin chic kind of look. And so I was kind of showing them all these different ideas, and we kind of had these discussions about it. And I asked them what they thought the list for 2022 would look like. And we sort of talked about kind of that Instagram model look and all of those things. And I said to them, so what does this make you think? How does it make you feel when you see how women have been expected to look so vastly different at different times? And one of them said, makes me just think how pointless it all is.
Oh, like,
yes, that's exactly the right answer.
That's
go star for that child.
How old was this child?
That was a year six girl who,
wow.
Yeah, right?
Bright kid.
Yeah.
She's got it.
And they all were kind of nodding. They more than pointless, stupid, they were saying. This is stupid. Like, who even decides at this point that it's better to have a round stomach or a flat stomach, pale skin or tanned skin? Like, all of those things have been the ideal at some point and in some place. Mm. So they were kind of saying, this is really stupid. And what happens if you go to all this effort to try to make yourself look like that, but then the fashion changes? So,
well, and also the other thing about Instagram is that it's one moment, probably with a filter, probably with loads and loads of what's it called when you knock wrinkles off your face, all sorts of apps, whatever.
Yeah,
I think that's a route I would
face
go.
Tuning.
Just say that was one moment, and it's probably not even real. So a bit of reality versus Instagram, you know, going on in your life and showing her, this is what mummy looked like here. 3 seconds later, she looked like that.
Yeah.
Because Instagram's quite a big part of your life, isn't it, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. And I do. I mean, I do. I don't knock out the wrinkles and stuff. Occasionally put a bit of a filter on something if it's a bit dark. But also, what just occurred to me about what Lizzie said about women's shape through the ages, there's no equivalent for the men.
No, absolutely.
Although my research for this talk did say to me that in ancient Greece, apparently, there was a lot more pressure on men than women to look a certain way.
Right, let's head back there.
That's where we need to be. Yeah, absolutely.
Where's Bill and Ted? We need that phone box. I want to get it. Yeah, because they were all Greek gods, weren't they?
Yeah.
I'm really going to. I mean, I just think it's. I mean, I'd love you to come to her school, Lizzie.
I think I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, I'm going to have words. I'm not on the PTA, but I'm sure I can pull a few strings.
Defo.
Okay, because I think you should be on the curriculum.
Yeah.
Lizzie Jackson Barrett. But, you know, we've got the... oh, and by the way, if you haven't got the book, How to Feel Beautiful...
Just the one.
Get it. Get it. It's right here. I keep it right next to me, don't I? She knows this. Is it still here? Yeah. There it
I'm
is.
Very impressed. Yay.
It's never far away. It is really, really good, guys.
Thanks.
And, you know, it's important to... We've only got one life, haven't we? This is the thing I sometimes have to tell myself when I'm in a, you know, cycle of low self-esteem, is like, why are you wasting time feeling bad?
Yeah.
Because it could all change. It could all be over tomorrow.
Well, that leads me into one of my questions, because I want to hear about the one-word confidence booster, please, Lizzie. Because that sounds very powerful.
I know.
You want to know my secret word?
I do. Does it begin with a C?
No.
That's my secret word.
Yeah, I know yours is. Right, Louise?
Well, so my one word confidence booster is, so it's a free kind of, it's a free cheat sheet that I made for women. It's often women who run their own businesses who come to me wanting help with their confidence, but actually anyone could use it. And what I wanted to do was to try to dispel the idea that growing your confidence is a huge, overwhelming, impossible task that you just don't know where to start, because obviously it's a long journey to get the whole way there. But I wanted to show that there are really easy, quick wins that you can make, and that you can literally do it with one word. And that word is expert. So the reason that I talk about this is because the women who I coach for confidence, who are having problems talking about their businesses in a way that portrays them as the person who knows what they're doing, who deserves mm-hmm. to charge what they charge, who isn't scared yeah. of talking about money, all of those things. As soon as you start introducing yourself as an expert, things change. So one of my lovely clients who I know doesn't mind me talking about her is a lady called Jackie, who is now actually one of my assistants. She's fabulous. And Jackie's a virtual assistant. And I used to see her in networking meetings saying, "Hi, I'm Jackie, and I really, really love working with PDFs. There's so many good things you can do with PDFs, and they can be really good for your business in all these ways." And then after working with me, Jackie went to a networking meeting and said, "Hi, I'm Jackie and I'm a PDF expert." Mm. And people were like, "Oh, great. Well, in that case, you're clearly the person I need help me."
Yeah.
And so once you start using that word to describe yourself, it changes how you see yourself. It changes how other people see yourself. And actually, there's no reason we can't do it outside of the business sphere. You know, that we are all experts in so many things that we do in our mm. lives. And as women, I think we're really good at playing that down, at kind of, I don't know, when we get a compliment, we go, "Oh, no, really. It's easy. It's fine. Whatever." Mm. Actually, no, you're right to give me that compliment. I'm really good at this thing. I am an expert at this thing. And it was when I started, I guess, rebranding myself, calling myself a confidence expert rather than confidence coach, that's when things really started to go well for me, and that's when I was attracting clients and media interest. And
but it's almost, Lizzie, it's almost subliminal, because so Lizzie has said it was an email you had to sign up to, mm-hmm. and it was a little, you obviously hadn't done this, Lou, but there were four slides of Lizzie introducing herself, like, so her, you know, front of her website. So Lizzie Jackson Barrett, life coach and life and confidence coach, Lizzie Jackson Barrett, blah blah blah, and the last one, the fourth one, was confidence expert. And she said, "Which one of these do you like the most?" That was all. I think it was that simple. And I was like, "Oh, it's that last one." And then underneath, she's like, "I bet you said confidence expert." I was like, "How does she know?" It's like somebody asking to take a card. It was like a card trick. I was like, "How does she know?" And she was like, "Because we all want to know that our fate, I guess, is in the hands of experts, right?"
Lizzie? Exactly, so that people feel pleased with themselves. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If somebody chooses to work with, you know, the sensey expert, the confidence expert, they're pleased with themselves. They've made a really sensible investment in themselves by choosing to work with the expert. Yay, them.
We're podcasting experts.
Exactly.
We're menopause experts.
Yep. Yeah, all those things.
And after I read that, I went into my Instagram, because I do a bit of network marketing on the side, and I changed it to, instead of Scentsy Consultant, I changed it to Home Fragrancing Expert.
Perfect. I love that.
There you go. See?
Yay.
Lou is you're a hypno expert.
Yeah.
You are. She's a hypnotist. No, a
hypnotherapist.
That's the one.
She's not going to make eating raw onions or something, is she?
No, darling.
No, she's a hypnotherapist, not a hypnotist. My menopause brain fog's off the scale this week. I can't find words for anything. It's awful. Lizzie, what's your life motto? Do you have one?
Ooh, what's my life motto? Well, my favourite line from my book that I like so much that I actually quote myself in the book. I get very meta with it. Feeling beautiful has nothing to do with how you look and everything to do with how you look at yourself. That's my motto. And actually, it's not only about feeling beautiful, is it? It's about everything else. That how we look at ourselves is kind of the key to how we show up in our world and in life and in all our relationships and in everything we do. It's like trying to change the way we look isn't going to get us there.
You should have that on. That's merch. I'd buy that t-shirt.
I'm on it.
I'd buy that mirror. I'd buy that mirror with it. It's such a wonderful quote. And it actually, I'm gonna tell that to Autumn tonight, because that's something that can take you through your whole life, isn't it? That is a life motto.
Don't sidetrack me by telling me to make merch, because I will be going on Canva tonight to make pretty pictures and stick them on t-shirts now.
Do it. I'll wear it for sure.
Irregular bitches.
How can we be more Lizzie is probably my final question, unless Lou has anything to add. We need to be more Lizzie, don't we, Lou?
Oh, for sure.
Well, shave your heads, obviously.
Obs, yeah.
Yay! Obs. You do own it. I've seen pictures of you with hair.
I just look a bit.
On Facebook. And yeah, I can't get my head around it at all, no pun intended. Right. It's really, I'm just like, oh, I prefer her without.
Me too. Yeah, no, if my hair grows, I mean, I do have a few little patches that come back now and then that need to be shaved. Mm-hmm. But if it ever properly grows back, I am just going to keep, I'm going to just imac it every night before bed and tell everyone that, no, it's not there. Yeah, because it's part of my identity now. And yeah, it's weird because, you know, when my hair fell out and my world was ending, it's because my identity had changed and it was completely out of my control. So if it grows back, I'll have the same problem. I'm avoiding your question. Be more Lizzie.
Yeah, you sort of were reborn. What I wanted to ask, and I kept getting, because I was just kept getting absorbed in what you were saying, but what I really want to know is, and I don't know whether I know the answer to this, did your body... did the confidence coaching and the confidence expertise, did that come after the alopecia kicked in? So was this a complete, like, what were you doing before then? Were you doing anything like this, or was this a brand new start for you?
I had just qualified as a coach a few months before I lost my hair. So I was kind of doing various life coachy, kind of putting different hats on that were to do with, various ways of feeling good about yourself, but not quite getting there, and not really feeling all that authentic in what I was offering. And then when my hair fell out, I stopped working for a few months while I had a pity party, then pulled myself together, then felt good about myself, and then it's like, oh, that's what I can coach people in, that makes sense. So it all came together exactly how I needed it to. And I have an answer for your question now. I can tell you exactly how to be more Lizzie. There is one promise that I made myself while I was going through this whole journey of learning to love myself that really is like the absolute pivotal thing in everything that I do to feel confident, which is making a promise to stop being unkind about myself and to myself. And as soon as you stop doing that, everything changes. And it's really hard because we all do it. But once you make that promise, the first step is to catch yourself each time you do it, because you do it more than you notice. Just those little self-deprecating comments, the brushing off insults. the brushing off compliments, just all those things we do where we look in the mirror and we say to ourselves, oh God, you're looking really wrinkly today, or, you know, whatever it is, we do it so much. And it's really, really hard to let that kind of positive part of our brain have a voice if it's constantly being drowned out by this permanent chatter about how you're not good enough. And so noticing each time you do it is the first step. And then bloody well stopping, just catching yourself going, no, I'm not going to say that about myself, actually. It's hard, but it is doable. And then the next step after that is to make yourself say nice things about yourself. That's when people go, oh God. But that's when things really change. So I made a decision to start describing myself as beautiful before I felt beautiful. And it was a really hard and scary thing to do, but I made myself keep saying it. And I think I did it mainly for the kids. I wanted them to hear me say it. But the more I said it, the more I started to believe it. And the more I said it, the more other people started to say it about me. So that's how to be more Lizzie. Be nice to yourself, basically.
Treat yourself like you treat your best mate, because you would never say horrible things like that to your best mate. Exactly. Not ever. That. So why are you doing it to yourself?
Yeah. Oh, Lizzie, honestly, every time I talk to you, I just get, I can walk away with a fuzzy feeling in my tummy, and it's just like, right, I'm going to do it.
Good. Do it.
So thank you. You are amazing. She's amazing. Where can people consume Lizzie Jackson Barrett?
Well, they can come and consume as much of me as they like on my brand spanking new website, lizziejacksonbarrett.com. So it's a very easy one to remember. And I am on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn at Lizzie Jackson Barrett, but not Twitter, because it is a cesspit of horrible trolling people and I'm
absolutely
not going near it.
Yeah, no, I'm on Twitter. I never go there though. I always go in and find about five DMs and I'm like, you know, I'm not getting involved there. Lizzie, thank you so much.
Thank
you're
you.
Epic. And thank you, Lou.
Thanks
you're epic too.
Me.
That's all from us. Thanks to my hubby. We have to say thank
we
you
do.
To Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
He edits and produces it. Bloody loves you, Elizabeth. And also, Lizzie, for being an epic guest and expert. Lou, for Louing. I just love saying that now. Lou, for just being Lou. And Chopasaurus for our music. But until next time, Louise.
Stay cool, bitches.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.